Hi, and welcome to the Now Spinning Magazine podcast with me, Phil Aston. And on this episode, I'm delighted to have with me Karen Emmanuel, the founder and CEO of the Key Production Group. Now, the Key Production Group specializes in the production and manufacture of CDs, DVDs, vinyl records, and cassettes, as well as bespoke packaging of music, which, of course, all of us fans of physical music are really, really interested in, almost OCD in many ways. Now, Karen also won the NatWest Every Woman of the Year in 2018, and in 2021, the Great British Businesswoman's Engineering and Manufacturing Businesswoman of the Year Award. So you know your stuff, and welcome this afternoon, and thank you for talking to me. Now, I'd like to start with a quote that I've seen in a recent press release, and this is from Karen. This may sound controversial, but we may have reached peak vinyl, which means new trends will play out in 2023. We're hearing from some experts that records won't be released in so many format variants this year. So fewer colours of vinyl, maybe no super deluxe option. Who knows? We may even return to liking the sound of the CD. So Karen, what was your kind of motivation for that actual quote?
Well, obviously, as a company that manufactures physical product, I like to be on top of what's happening in the industry. And we've got a variety of clients that release a variety of formats. And we're just constantly talking to them, and we're constantly talking to the factories to see what their order books are looking like and to see if we can kind of predict what's going to happen. Because while it's very interesting and we need to know, I need to know from a business point of view as well, so that we know where we're putting our efforts and what we need to look forward to. So this comes from talking to clients, suppliers, and people in the industry, shops, to see kind of like what they're seeing could be happening.
So do you feel that the landscape, the music landscape for physical music, is going to change this year?
I think so. I mean, certainly, so in the last year, or the last couple of years, there's been way, way more demand than supply. So it's taken an incredibly long time to get, for example, vinyl manufactured. There's been loads and loads of supply chain issues, and that's with CDs as well as card and vinyl. And that's now changing. Everything's settling down. A lot of the vinyl manufacturers have got loads and loads more machines in, so turnaround times are calming down. I mean, we've gone from sort of 9 to as much as 12 months down to about 3 months now. So it's kind of settled to what it was a few years beforehand. But we're also seeing patterns of things like a lot of people did a lot of catalog manufacturing over the past couple of years, and they ordered more catalog than they'd need for the next year, and maybe kind of looked into the future. So again, this is giving a lot more capacity availability. People are a bit worried because there's a cost of living crisis. How much can they make? So from an independence label point of view, it's like how much can they afford to do? And what are people going to be able to afford to buy? Are they going to be able to afford the super deluxe, the deluxe, the green, the yellow, the blue, and the black? And you do get some people like Uber fans, and they do buy like that. And so it's just looking at sort of the patterns that we think are changing, and certainly that's the feeling that I've got from a lot of labels, that people are being much more considered with what they're manufacturing. And with the CDs, which obviously you mentioned there, I think people were turning to them a bit when if it takes so long to get your vinyl manufactured, and you want something physical quickly to give to someone, well, to buy at a gig or whatever, that then CDs obviously were a lot quicker. They also cost less to make. So if people are looking at, their finances, then, you know, they might start considering doing a CD over vinyl. I've heard of lots of kids, actually, quite interestingly, sort of younger kids going towards CDs while looking to buy more CD players and building up a collection, which I found quite interesting.
Well, I think that it's not that long ago. I think it's just before Christmas when the headline was vinyl outsells CD for the first time in 35 years. But of course, that was a bit of smoke and mirrors, because it was more to do with the revenue. Vinyl overtook CD in revenues, 150 million compared with 125 million for CDs. But the CD itself, I think there was 11, according to the BPI, there was 11.5 million CDs sold last year and 5.5 million vinyl records. So which format is the most popular? You could say it was a CD, but that I think that's what I don't want to see. Is what we saw in the late 80s and early 90s was the industry trying to make everybody move over to CD to the point of trying to kill vinyl. And I remember myself, because I'm old enough to remember this, is that vinyl records in the late 80s, when they were trying to almost mimic the length of the CD, the vinyl quality really dropped off the cliff. You know, they were about 100 gram pressings and they just sounded awful.
Yeah, they were.
And there's you know, they're terrible. And what I don't want to see, and I don't think the industry wants to see, because there was no internet back then. So the physical market was massive, but now it's very niche. So what is it, about 15, 20% if max, depending on what month you drop down and have a look, is that you don't want the CD to start, because I've seen some CDs released where it's literally a bit of fold-out card. There's no love behind it. And it looks like something that would be stuck on the front of a magazine, like software. And it's like trying to push you towards the vinyl offering. But I think my viewers and listeners and subscribers is that people love both formats. And I think both formats can live next to each other very well. I mean, is that from your point of view as a manufacturer, is that what you see going forward, that both formats can exist in harmony?
Well, they are existing in harmony at the moment. I mean, interestingly, the sort of our figures of what we manufacture kind of mimic the kind of 2-to-1 CDs to vinyl that the BPI have put out. It's interesting that we always quote those figures, isn't it, though? Because I think as a company, we probably press that amount of vinyl and we certainly don't press all the vinyl in the UK by any stretch of the imagination, so I think the figures are slightly skew-if, because obviously they go by what's actually sold in the shops, but not all the D2C and not people that aren't chart relevant, and
that's so true, isn't it? Yeah, because that, as I say, those are only for the ones that are in the system that get counted. Yes. But all the ones that go straight from Bandcamp or, from indie labels or sold in concert halls, they're not counted. As you say, there's a hidden fan base for physical music, isn't there, really?
Yeah, there certainly is. And when you say about, you know, sort of stuff sold at concerts, you look at an average person, they're leaving a concert, they want to buy something that gives them a great memory of what they've just seen. Vinyl's quite big. I mean, it's fabulous. I love it. I absolutely love it. I love the whole artwork. I love the whole turning over the record and telling the story. But CDs are really kind of quite small, and a lot of people really like their sound. And it's really interesting. I mean, sort of working in both, you've got all the sort of audiophile vinyl people that go, it's much richer, it's much better, I love the way, the depth of the sound. But you do have people, and I've known sort of engineers who have gone, the sound of the CDs better, or it's obviously it depends on personal taste, but a lot of people prefer the pureness of the sound of the CD and the fact that it is digital and very true in sound. So yes, they do. Yeah, they do live side by side, and I would hope that they continue to live side by side, as we can still live side by side with digital.
Yeah, well, absolutely. When I started Now Spinning Magazine, I don't think many of my listeners or readers streamed at all. It was seen as like going over to the dark side. But I think I'd say that probably 95% of people now do But they do it and they use it like the radio. They use it to discover new things, and they go off and someone mentions something and they go off and see what it's like themselves. And then they make a choice about thinking, if I do like that, shall I buy a CD or a vinyl album? And what I'm seeing from my side is that people are buying the vinyl album for that special artist or that special release where they'd like to have that. But the impulse buy or thinking, well, I quite like them, is the CD. Because I can see that if I go into HMV, the CD is £10 and the vinyl album is £30 to £40. And that takes more thought to purchase that.
Yeah, that is correct. And it's really, really annoys me how the press and the media have tried to get rid of a product that is still strong. I mean, you know, not strong comparatively to where it was when the whole music industry, as you say, tried to force the demise of vinyl and push it to CD.
Yeah.
But it's certainly a strong format in its own right. And sort of one of the things I think as well is people are collectors, and there's a lot of people that were collecting CDs and they haven't stopped.
No, they haven't.
And we're not dead yet. We're going to keep collecting, you know?
Yeah.
And there's still, you know, the secondhand car market's really strong at the moment, and a lot of secondhand cars have got CD players in. And like you say, the kind of impulse buy of, oh, I want to hear, listen to something in the car, you're going to go and buy a CD.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I mean, I know that, I mean, Music Week is is the trade paper for the music industry. But even they, this morning in one of their press releases on their magazine, said, given the collapse of CD sales, you know, they had to say the collapse of, but £125 million of all the CDs that go over in the system that they know about, is not, you're not going to convert all those people to vinyl buyers. It's still, you're not going to want to drop that as a revenue stream for your artists or your labels. It's still a chunk of money. And to say that physical music now is a niche. And I think that a lot of people I know are multi-format buyers. They will buy, they don't. So in some ways, I don't see the arguments within my side of people saying, oh, vinyl sounds better than CD, or CD sounds better than vinyl. That's kind of gone. It's people now decide. There's a band that I spoke to, a guy who's a leader of a band called Cats in Space, a fairly new UK rock band. And they sell vinyl and CDs. And quite a few people in my online community have bought both formats because they want to support the artist. And of course, I know you said in your quote, multi-formats and multi-variations. I think this is a fine line, because some people will want to do that, but I think you have to be very careful. I think Taylor Swift has got a wonderful fan base that's unlike anyone else, where people went out and probably bought, what was the maximum you could buy? 4 vinyl albums and 4 CDs. That's 8 copies. That's 8 sales per fan. But I don't think that's the norm, you know.
It's not the norm. I mean, I think from our experience, we find the bigger artists tend to do more multi-formats. But even some of the small ones do more than you would expect, I suppose. So sometimes we get quite taken aback. It's like, you know, and we'll do a run, quite a low run, but it will have 4 different colours to that run. How many of those fans then buy every different colour? I don't know, but I do know that people are talking about making that less of an option now. I suppose it depends, like with everything, personal taste depends on the fans, depends how avid a collector they are. Do they want absolutely everything they can get their hands on and then keep it, don't play it, only play one, trade it? Yeah, it is varied, but as I say, that the people that have been doing a lot of different types of formats, a lot of them have been questioning how many they should do in the future. But the bigger artists that want to go for the chart positions, and have got a very, very strong fan base that will buy a lot of formats, I think that they're still going to be putting out quite a lot.
What is classed as a low run, low print run in the world of vinyl pressing?
We count 300 as a low pressing run. There are some companies that do less. The problem with doing much less is there's a lot of wastage, and the price point just doesn't make it worthwhile because of all the setup that you've got on the machines. And whilst you can digitally print these days, so that makes smaller numbers better for the print. The big vinyl machines, you know, it takes a lot of setup, a lot of time to get it running, a lot of time to get it working properly. But yeah, as I say, having said that, there are a couple of people out there that do specialize in sort of 150 runs.
So in a way, because you've got to clean all the machines down, and I know a lot of my readers and listeners prefer black vinyl, you know, like in the ye olde days. And it's actually sometimes quite hard to find the black vinyl version. I even bought one the other week that said limited black vinyl on the front cover. So, but does when people have splatter vinyl or coloured, does that mean the turnaround is even more difficult because you've got to clean out all the other pigments?
Yes, absolutely, it does. I mean, there are some factories that kind of specialise in that, so they have a lot of machines, and that they're all not automatic. You know, you have to, when you're doing all the different color variations, you actually have someone stood there and making up those color variations for you by hand. So yes, it is more it's more expensive, it's more time consuming, and yes, when you're changing colors down from one color to the other again, it takes a lot of time, and then you have to set it up again, which is why you'll get surcharges for setups and so on.
Is that something you think might happen with people, or kind of because of the cost? Because there is a fine line between charging too much for vinyl, and I think it feels like the market's testing to see what they can get away with in some quarters. That maybe black vinyl could be seen as the norm because of the able to get, you know, the cost down or the profit margins up.
Well, yeah, but then people pay charge more for sort of coloured and coloured variations than they do for black because it does cost more. I mean, I know there was certainly time last year when the pressing plants themselves would have much preferred to have just done black vinyl because they would have got out more and there wouldn't have been such a sort of a backlog. I mean, like you say, some people like it. I mean, we can kind of like digress now to the perceived different sounds of different coloured vinyl as well. And
there is one, isn't there? There is a difference.
My ears don't hear it myself, but technically just the way it's made, the black granulate is, you know, better sound quality, and then the kind of all the splatter stuff would be lesser sound quality than just a sort of straight color. Picture disc, absolutely, definitely worse quality than anything else. It's the way that they're made. You're kind of playing through plastic and paper, so it's very, very different. I've always wanted to do an experiment, like a blindfold experiment of someone, and give them like a blacker color, a splatter, and play them all and see if they can tell the difference. And I really don't know how many people would, but yes, certainly if you look at it technically and if you speak to people, then yeah, black will be the best.
Yeah, but I guess it probably also depends on what the style of music that's being played on that particular vinyl. If it's Max Richter on a solo piano next to Motorhead, it might be harder to tell.
Maybe it's just I listen to quite a lot of loud music that I can't tell. But you're quite right.
were you responsible for the last Muse album, Will of the People? Was that
the bespoke one?
Yeah.
We were a lot of hard work went into that.
So, did you do the main kind of deluxe edition, or were you also involved with the vinyl and the CD versions?
Oh, gosh, you're asking the wrong person, but definitely the deluxe. I'm not sure if we did the other versions as well, to be 100% honest with you.
That's okay. I mean, when you were putting that out, did you, again, was it when you work out how many to press? Because it must be quite tricky to get it right. You don't want to have too many left over, but equally, you probably don't want it to sell out within 2 hours.
Luckily for us, we have nothing to do with that side of things. We leave that to the experts. So what happens is the our client, which will be either the band, the label services company, the record label, the distributor, the manager, you know, they dictate to us what they're going to do and what they need. So we'll do all the sort of the research and the type of product that they want and how it will all fit together and how it won't damage in transit and all of that and what it will look like. So we do all the kind of, I suppose, the R&D and the actual physical manufacturing, but it's for them to tell us how many they need to do. And that's done. I mean, they've got people, you know, within their structures that have been working with bands for years. They know the fan base. They know what's likely to pre-sell into the shops. So they get a much better idea than I would ever know or any of us would ever know. I mean, you can predict some things when you've been working with a record label for a long time. You know vaguely how much they tend to do. But no, we don't. Thankfully, we don't have to take that risk. That's our customers. Yeah.
And you said a few moments ago that obviously we can't count everything that allegedly is sold because not everybody's in the chart system. So a lot of it is outside of there. You know, a huge bulk of it, I imagine. Yeah. But from your perspective, when you hear that the CD format has gone down 18% year on year, because I know in your press release, you were saying you might even be looking to increase your capacity for CD production. So over the last 5 to 10 years, have you seen the slow trickle down of the one format against the other, or is it roughly, are they closer than we realise?
Well, gosh, it's like how long have you gone back? I've been doing this for over 30 years. There was a time when CDs kind of started falling off a cliff, probably about 2007-08 or something. Yeah. When the CD single, I mean, virtually disappeared overnight, and we were doing shed loads, you know. So that had a very, very kind of negative effect on the business. Again, when vinyl was trying to be pushed out, it had kind of a negative effect. But because we did a lot with the independent sector, we always kept vinyl going. So yeah, we always did it. The surge in vinyl, the amount that it surged, took us all by surprise. Yeah, really sort of, yeah, it was quite very, very hard to keep up with it, as everybody knows, over the past couple of years.
Yes, of course.
CDs have always been, they've always been there. We've always done more CDs, you know, unit for unit than yes, vinyl. Yeah. I think I've probably seen it go down, if I'm totally honest, from, you know, the ratio of sort of 3 to 1 to 2 to 1. But then if you think about it, the vinyl's actually gone up. So, you know, gosh, I mean, I'm hopeful that what we may see with CDs is what we've seen with vinyl, which is new people coming towards it, new generations of people discovering it and then becoming collectors and then, you know, therefore increasing the amount that need to be made and are going to be sold. And I've seen that anecdotally at the moment, that there are new generations coming up and beginning to like the CD. I think we'll probably have to wait a short while until we see that in reality.
I think the other thing, of course, is that although we when you talk about any kind of musical format, you think about the sound quality, or it's always about listening, but it's also for the collector about the using our eyes. It's the visual aspect, and this is, I think, is important for both. Yes. Formats, and there's been some very clever you know, developments in CDs, like the media books and the, you know, and people I think do prefer the tactile digipack as long as it's not like just a foldaway card, but there's lots of there's lots of design mechanisms in there that make it feel attractive, and like it's something that, you know, the outer sleeve that folds it in and out, etc. I mean, are you, do you get a chance to do like different types of designs, and or are you seeing people want different types of designs more?
Yes, certainly. And I think what I've noticed recently is more bespoke CD packs coming out. So yeah, interesting sort of boxes with different items in, not just the CD. We certainly do quite a lot of the book packs because they do look, you know, they do look really nice. And people want to keep them. And like you said, I mean, I think the beauty about physical product is it's there to be tactile with it. It's to sit on your shelves, it's to be taken out and looked at as well as played. And there's something that you just don't get with it in the air with downloading or streaming or whatever. It is very different.
Yeah, I asked because I wanted to make sure I wasn't the only person on planet Earth who did this. But that sometimes I might not even be playing music, but I might pick a CD box set off the shelf or something and just go through the booklet and go through the contents. Cause I just want to be close to the collection and actually there's tons of people that do the similar thing. So the actual design and the package is far more important. It is more than just the music. If you like to buy physical music.
Absolutely. Look, I still go into shops and I pick things up and I'm touching them and kind of smelling them and looking at, because I mean, all the different effects that you can get, the sort of embossing, debossing, the spot varnishes and things like that. And I just can't help myself, and I'm picking it up and stroking it and then looking at it going, well, why didn't we make this? It's really gorgeous.
Now, it's very true, because I think that vinyl to me is like the hardback book, and the CD might be a bit like the paperback, but not a throwaway paperback. But I do think there's a place for, like, I don't know if you're involved in CD box sets, because they are more practical than a ginormous vinyl box with 20 discs in it, because that I think would be impossible. In the UK, our houses are quite tiny.
I'm a bit sad I've got a blurred background on, because I've actually got behind me is on the top is all the books, then there's the CDs, and then there's the vinyl. So I still have and collect, and you know, and there are lots of people like me.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So what's the kind of, how are you seeing 2023 panning out for Key Production? What's on your plans for this year?
Well, to hopefully have a magical year like we did last year, but with less of the stress and strains that have been caused by all the supply chain problems and COVID and so on. The factories having more room in them so that we can actually get product done in a timely fashion. We recently opened in Europe, so obviously we want to, well, thank you Brexit. So we're going to be sending our man in Europe away to conquer Europe as well as the UK, and just, I suppose, just doing what we do well. We love working on bespoke product. It's really interesting to be involved with the artist right from the very beginning and thinking about the designs and how the product, we've got product designers in house, so they kind of like work out what it's going to look like at the end. And I think working on things like that just really excite us is great. So, yeah, we're still growing as a company even after 33 years.
Wow.
And, oh, yes, we're going to have a big party, 33 and a third.
Oh, well, that's perfect, isn't it? It's got to be the time to do that. Do you work with bands on all levels? I mean, like small independents who might just have a Bandcamp outlet here?
Yeah, absolutely. We're a bunch of very knowledgeable people, and so the people that haven't done things before, we're able to literally hold their hands through the whole process, sort of talk them through it. It's kind of where we came from. You know, I started very independently. It was just me in a little office. And, you know, just to use our knowledge to help people through, because it's, I mean, it's an absolute minefield, manufacturing. It is so very bespoke, and people don't realise sort of what goes into it and how kind of quite difficult it is. So we're quite proud about being able to help, you know, a person that's just starting, very, very independent, right through to people that are having number ones. Like the Raytons the other week, who are independent anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, we work with a lot of bigger bands as well. So literally all the way through.
And, of course, I have to mention the Humble Cassette. Because because none of us saw that coming.
No, I think at one point I did say, though, it's like, you know, 1,000 times zero is still zero. So... but certainly they came back in a way that I wasn't expecting at all. Certainly nowhere near, you know, anything like the numbers that we see with CDs or vinyl. But what I found with the cassette is quite often, again, it was younger kids wanting something that they've never had, that their parents had. Yeah. So it's a very retro thing and a very Instagrammable thing as well.
Yeah, very true. And I do think sometimes they were probably just bundled in with a deluxe package, and then it was counted as a one of the sales in the box, you know, when he appears somewhere, to be honest. So when a young band comes to you and they say, we want to do something, do you kind of like say, well, you could do the CD, you could do a 7-inch single, you could do a vinyl album, you could do this? And it's just thinking, is it based around their budget or what their aspirations?
It's a bit of both. So because vinyl has become the thing that it is, a lot of young bands will want to put something out on vinyl. So they'll come with that thought in their head.
That's their first thought.
It's got to be vinyl. Yeah. But then having said that, obviously people are budget conscious, so they're looking at other formats, possibly cassettes. I mean, there are some cassette only labels. Wow. Yeah, and then you get sort of, I suppose, as people realize, get more fans, maybe sign to a label, then the label will look at the fan base and put out accordingly to that fan base. So often all three, or maybe do a deluxe or whatever. So it kind of changes as time goes on. And I think it also depends on genres and who their listeners are. And people have to think about, you know, who they're actually going to sell to and what's more likely to sell.
Yeah, there was, because I also read, I think this was on LinkedIn, when I put out one of my videos saying that CDs were doing really well. And the person said, gosh, what are people playing them on? And I said, well, they're actually playing them on CD players. And and I kind of went back with a kind of like a, well, it wasn't a sarcastic comment. I said, well, there are some people, you know, that actually buy records and they've got nothing to play them on. And the response was, oh, that's called silent vinyl. And I didn't know that was a thing, but apparently it is. But actually, to be fair, my youngest son loves vinyl, and he's got lots of vinyl, and he does play. He has got a record player, but a lot of the times he streams it. He streams the music, but has the record out in front of him that he's not playing. So, you know, so like Generation Z and millennials, I wonder if there are lots of people who that might be the, because I know lots of new releases are selling well on vinyl. It's not just catalog. It's not just Dark Side of the Moon, is it? Or Queen's Greatest Hits. And I wonder if that's the thing, that streaming is so, can't touch it. And in vinyl is the big hardback book, the big tangible thing, but I'm not necessarily going to play it, but I've got it and it's signed by the artist.
Yeah, I mean, I do hear things like that, but then, and certainly I think at the beginning of the vinyl sort of explosion, that was more the case, but the sales of record players have gone through the roof
as well.
So it shows that people are playing them as well. I think there are some people, you know, it's a different generation. It's not my generation, but there are kids that do. You want to touch, feel something, and how you play it might be differently to how you touch and feel it. And I've quite often with younger people, I've heard physical product be termed as merchandise, which kind of like drives a knife through my heart. But I understand it. You know, they want to touch, they want to feel, they want to buy, they want to be part of it, but they're still going to consume by streaming. And so be it, as long as they're buying it.
Well, that's it, isn't it? That's the, at the end of the day, you want people to, we all do, you know, it's the best way for the bands and artists to get, you know, better revenue, better income is to sell physical product. And I think the great thing is that, you know, music fans, we may be niche, but we love to buy and support the artists by buying physical product. And that's why I think that what I'm trying to say, and from what you're saying as well, is that it doesn't matter what format it is, really. It's a physical music revival. It isn't like one against the other. It isn't about saying, you know, will vinyl sales increase in 2023, you know, or what will happen. But actually, you want CD sales to be alongside them. It's just physical music, isn't it? I mean, is that how you as a company see it? It's just whatever you're making, it's just physical music.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose there's no just to it, but we're all fans in the office as well as being knowledgeable about it, and we all understand why people want physical music, and we understand that different people might want it in different formats, and we're happy. You know, it keeps us all in jobs, doesn't it? We're happy to make whatever format people are asking for, and I think as I said before, the kind of the excitable stuff is when someone gives us a really big challenge of trying to make something that you don't think is possible to make. That's always quite exciting, or when it's something that just completely wows you. When you open it up, whatever format that is. I mean, one of our guys, he was opening, actually it was a CD box set the other day that was just done. It was absolutely beautiful, all the detail in it, and he was just going whoa, and just seeing someone's reaction when something that you really love is there in the physical form, and you're opening it and you're seeing it and you're touching it, it can't be replicated online.
That's true. And I think also, I mean, it'd be interesting to know what your thoughts are, because I know it's just a few years ago when the vinyl uptick was going really high, that some people were releasing on vinyl only and they'd started not to do a CD option. That seems to have changed now, and there always seems to be a CD option again.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I really, if you think, it's funny how things change, isn't it? Because it was like a lot of the major record labels sort of stopped making vinyl and only made CD. And then they realised that actually there's a market in vinyl. So they started just doing vinyl releases because that's what they thought the audience wanted. Yeah. But the thing is if you realize your audience is very wide and they want everything, then you'd be foolish, I think, like you said before, not to give them everything, because it's going to make money.
but it's quite nice to see when I bought a record the other day and it said first time on vinyl. And it's just we're so used to seeing first time on CD, weren't we, a few decades ago? And now it's going around in the opposite direction.
God, decades ago, that makes me feel old, thanks.
Well, you may not remember that time.
I do.
Well, thank you very much, Karen. Thank you for your time this afternoon. Where's the best place for people to get hold of you if they've got any questions for their own band, or they'd like to know more about what options they've got for releasing physical music?
If you go onto our website, www.keyproduction.co.uk, there's a load of information there, and there'll be a contact form there. And if you go there, someone will get back to you and explain whatever you need, really.
Right. Thank you very much. Well, thanks very much again for your time. And hopefully I'll talk to you soon later on in the year, and we'll see how 2023 has been going.
I'd be very excited to do that. And thank you very much for having me on, Phil.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in and listening and watching. And thank you very much to my guest, Karen Emmanuel from the Key Production Group. And that was really interesting. And I'm sure all of us will now be knowing more about what's going on with records, CDs, and even cassettes. So please check out the Now Spinning Magazine website for loads and loads of content on there for you to explore. And of course, the YouTube channel. And please subscribe to the podcast and everything you could find, really, that where we talk about our passion for physical music. So I shall see you very, very soon.